The Most High, I speak life to these people. I break every shackle in the name of Jesus. The enemy has tried to put against some of you. I see shackles on ankles, and you've been pulling, and there's been a shackle, and you pulled against it, but the enemy has tried to hold you back. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I cut and break every assignment against you in the realm of the Spirit that has held you back from moving into the fullness that God has for you. In Jesus' name, we release you in the realm of the Spirit. I see a heart cry. Someone has been crying out to God. I see someone, you've been weeping. You've been weeping to God. You've been crying out. You have a heart cry. A heart cry is something that doesn't have words. It's like you have a desire for something of God, but you really, there's no English words for it. And you weep out to God, but you feel like you almost feel like you're just going to die if you don't get this thing from God. And that's called the heart cry. And God has put that in us. And when you come in contact with your heart cry and you begin to cry out to God, it's like, God, I can't stand this. I've got to have something more, something from you. That's actually the Holy Spirit in you crying out to the Father, because He wants a transaction to happen, an impartation from God to be put into you to enable you to do what you need to do. Because we don't have the ability, we don't have it in us, in our flesh dwells no good thing. We don't have the ability to do all the things that God wants us to do or that we desire to do. You know, we try and we fail, we try and we fail, and we bump into walls because we try to do it in our own strength. And sometimes, praise the Lord, we come to the realization that our own strength is never going to manifest it. It's never going to happen through our own strength because we really don't have the ability. You know why? The flesh is of the earthly realm. This is where you live in the natural. But God has called us to walk as Jesus walked. And the reason Jesus was able to walk as He walked is He lived on a higher plane. He was in a physical body, but He was filled with the Holy Spirit before He went out to do the works. And that infilling enabled Him to live in two places at once, if you can believe it, because He was now in heavenly places with His Father in the Spirit. He said, I only do, this is a quote, Jesus Christ said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. He was looking in heavenly places. He was looking in the realm of the Spirit because that's where He was really living. Now His physical body was going around and manifesting what? The works of heaven here on earth. So the healings were really a God thing. That's why people knew this man, you know, they came to Him and they said nobody could do these works unless God has sent him. Nobody could do this except God did it. Nobody could do this stuff unless God the Father pours it through you. And so what happens is we read the Bible, and if we don't really understand what's happening in our carnal mind, we think, okay, I'm supposed to go do this, and I'm supposed to go do that. And we try to do it as a work of the flesh. We try to make it happen, and we find failure. And so the earlier that we come to the recognition that we have zero ability to make godly things happen in our own strength, the sooner we can get on our knees and say, God, I have zero ability, but you know what? I know that You have all ability. I also read in the Word of God that You desire to do mighty things through me, even though I'm not anybody. In fact, it says, You've chosen us to be sons of God. Woo! And Jesus said, He who believes on me, the works that I do will he do also, and even greater works than these will he do. So Jesus was handing us this mandate. And we've watered it down so bad. Over 2,000 years, we've watered it down until it's just a bare veil of what it used to be. It's nothing but a thin veneer of what it really was intended to be. The true gospel message of Jesus Christ was a message of great power, miracle-working power. Now, I can hear somebody going, I thought this was about getting free. So did I. I don't know where we're going tonight. I just am going to say what God puts in my heart to say, okay? Is that okay? Because you know what I find is when I do that, you're going to get free anyway. Normally, I teach a class, but I just feel like we have to go with God tonight. And I feel like I'd be out of order. I would be disobedient to Him if I didn't do that. So there's some of you, before when we were sitting in here earlier, I was praying, and I saw a picture of someone, and the Lord said, you've been called. You're in here right now. You've been called for many years. I want to say at least 20 years you've known your calling, but you've been in wait state. and you had actually just about given up that it would ever happen. And you thought you missed it. You thought you had taken a wrong turn somehow, you'd prevented it from happening, and because of that somehow it was never going to happen. But I have some news for you. That's not true. Not only did you not prevent it, God is just getting ready to open the doors for you to do the very thing you're called to do that you saw about or over 20 years ago. God is getting ready to open a door for you, and you know what? You were being seasoned. You know, like they say about a fine wine, it has to be aged. We will sell no wine before its time. Well, humans are the same way. We need to be brought into the fullness of who we are. That's why a lot of times God doesn't release people into the ministry a lot of times until they're older, because they've been seasoned, they've been aged, and they've had some of the stuff worked out of them. Because the gifting is in you. The gifting and calling may be in you from the day you're born again, but if you don't have some of the stuff worked out of you, then what will you manifest when you go to minister? You'll manifest the good stuff out of your gift, but you'll also have some trash tied along with it. And have we not seen ministers bless their hearts that weren't free, that moved in powerful anointing and yet had some trash tied to the... Hello. To the shopping cart. So they were walking along blessing people, and at the very same time there was this other stuff. I've seen it. I know I've seen it with ministries, and I'm not condemning them, but what happened? They got saved, they saw their gifting, and they began to function under the unction of that gifting, but never went through the seasoning and the aging process to have the junk squeezed out of them. And because they didn't, then what happened is they began to their gift didn't go away. They're gifted, but so they operated out of their gift. I'm not going to name any names, of course, but one real powerful, I'm talking about a powerful, powerful preacher, changed thousands of lives, had a powerful ministry both here and overseas, but had some stuff not yet worked out. And it caused a horrible problem in the body of Christ. Because when you get to a point in the ministry or where you're being used by God and people begin to know you as that person, your junk becomes more evident. You know, everybody has junk until God works it out of us. We all have some stuff that we need to deal with, all of us, every human. You know, unless you're Jesus Christ, then you've got stuff. You know? Hello. And so... But what happens is, in our pride, we say, well, I'm pretty good. I'm anointed, so I must be okay. Uh-oh. I'm anointed, so I must have God's stamp of approval. God used me for this, therefore I must have it all right. Wrong. Your gifting is totally unrelated to the level of character that you walk in. Your gifting is totally unrelated to how free you are. Your gifting is placed in you by the Holy Spirit. He is all gifts. He is all fruits. So if you've been born again and filled with the Spirit, you have giftings. And they're going to manifest whether you're a jerk or not. That's the truth. And so what happens is some people begin to move in a certain level of anointing and get a certain amount of recognition, and then the devil comes along and sows little seeds of pride. Well, you have got it together. Look at you. See, that's what he'll try to do to you. People are coming to you for advice, or maybe you're operating in a great level of prayer or word of knowledge or whatever. Maybe you're doing some prophecy. Maybe you're gaining some respect among your peers. Very dangerous territory if you don't understand that in our flesh dwells no good thing. If you don't have a real revelation that without him you couldn't do diddly, I mean a real inside here revelation, then what happens is you begin to think you're doing pretty good. And you no longer strive to be changed. One of the biggest things about getting free, one of the biggest pathways to getting free, is to desire, truly desire, to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you begin to think that, well, I'm okay the way that I am, and you are, you'll get through life.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, hallelujah. You'll get through life all right. But you'll never be able to fully move into the fullness of your purpose if you do not strive to be changed into the image of Christ and get the junk out. you may be gifted and anointed, but the truth, here's the thing. Sometimes when you desire to be changed, hey brothers, if we need another seat, maybe you could drag that one over. You okay? All right. Hello, brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, if somebody needs to, they can just... should they just sit over there, or do you want to just drag it out a little? All right. All right. Hallelujah. So here's the thing about desiring to be changed. When you don't want to be changed, or you think you're okay, or you're defensive, okay? And we all are. Come on, let's be honest. We don't like being confronted. If somebody comes and, you know, corrects us, nobody, that's no fun. Shut up. I'm good the way I am. But here's the thing. After you've had your reaction, you know, like with me, I have to go home and say, ooh, you know what? Were they right? Were they right? Maybe I didn't react so good, but were they right? You know what? A lot of times, even if somebody's abrasive in the way that they give you something, check it. Scratch at it. Lord, is there an issue with me? Do I have something that needs to be dealt with? Because if I do, I want... I tell you, anytime you have... Oh, here's a good one. Anytime you have a little conflict with somebody, anybody, generally there's a little red flag going up that there's something that needs to be dealt with. Usually in both of you. You say, well, they've got the problem. Well, yeah, they probably do. But it's almost never 100% one-sided. Anytime you come into abrasion with somebody, anytime somebody rubs you wrong, they may be dead wrong, but why did we react the way we did? Anytime you don't get along with somebody at work, hallelujah, glory to God. Hey, glory. Hey, I had no idea we were going to have this many people, should we? Praise the Lord. If any more come, we're going to have to migrate to the hot spot upstairs. All right, you know, and there may be some hidden back there, I just don't know. Do you know, Benita, is there chairs hidden back there? Okay. Well, hallelujah. I'm sorry to have my back to you, we're just... Yeah, all right. Campfire, all right. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So the issue is, when, you know, this is the scripture. It says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, it's not wise. You know why? Because as you grow in your gifting, if you compare yourself to others, pretty soon you're going to look pretty good. And you'll accept it and say, well, I'm, you know. Listen, when people are coming to you for healing, when people are coming to you for prayer or prophecy or whatever, and you're able to help them, if you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you'll start to think, hey, I got it. Dude. But that's why it's not wise, because you will stop right there and never grow. But if you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, uh-oh. Well, none of us look too good in that light. Yeah, all of us can look in that mirror and go, excuse me, I'm sorry, Lord, let me hit the deck on my face and apologize to you, you know, because really, honestly, thank God for that His righteousness is imparted to us as a free gift, because if it wasn't, there was no one of us that would make it to heaven. There's no one of us that's without sin, not one. And strive though we may to be holy, strive though we might to try to live well, there isn't one of us that measures up to Jesus Christ. So there's this process that God showed me. It's wonderful to accept His forgiveness as a free gift for what He did on the cross. And it's wonderful to know we're going to heaven. That's awesome. It's wonderful to be able to know that we stand in the forgiveness of God every day, no matter how bad we blew it last night or this morning or whatever. That is, if you never get anything else but that revelation, that is wonderful, because then you can know joy and peace. But that is only the baby. That's only like, you know, being born again. That's like baby steps. And most people, and I'm not trying to be mean, but most people in the body stay there. In fact, a lot of people in the body never even get there. They never even come into the full understanding of His true forgiveness and His true mercy and grace. You know, that's a mystery to them. But beyond that, let me tell you this. The real action comes in when you begin a determined process to be changed, to be like Him. And this process takes you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Now here's something strange. You were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit the minute you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you were born again and you received the baptism, you received God Himself living on the inside of your mortal body. And as you learn to allow Him to manifest Himself instead of you manifesting yourself, then people can see God instead of you. But here's something interesting. As you fight the determined fight, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Work the junk out of your life. Go after it in prayer. Don't be satisfied to remain the same. Do you have an issue? Go after it in prayer. Do you have lust? Oh, I can't believe she said lust in church. Come on. Do you have issues? God's not mad at you, but He is trying to call you to be changed. He can change you. Yes, He can. He can change you. He can change your heart. He can change your thinking. And He can change your habits, your temptations. He can do it. Now, it's not all overnight. That's why it's a process. We want it now. We want to be changed, boom, like Jesus, moving in power. That's what we want. But here's the thing. We've had years of programming of garbage. Every minute of every day, of every month, of every year, since you were born on the face of this earth, there has been every manner of stuff going into your head, some true and most false. If you've watched TV, you've seen every kind of garbage, if you've listened to people talk, and I'm not talking about even sinful stuff, I'm just talking about stuff that is absolutely not in line with the Word of God. Our mind is the most incredible computer. I work in computers. There isn't a computer on the face of the earth that comes anywhere near the complexity or the ability of our mind. There ain't one. I don't care what they tell you. But our mind can capture and retain every manner of data, whether it's true or not. And if we do not fully understand the truth of God's Word, we accept as the truth all kinds of falsehood. That's called false belief systems. You accept as truth all the time, every day, something that's not true. And you live based on what you believe in your thinking. That's why the Bible says that when you know the truth, they shall know the truth, it will make them free. A lot of deliverance comes when you recognize the truth. I'm telling you, a lot of things I've gotten free from. You know, I believe in deliverance. I've been through deliverance where I've had strongholds broken off my life. Thank you, God. God has delivered me from strong, I'm talking about strong enemies. Delivered me. So delivered me that they were out of my life forever. That's deliverance. But I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of deliverance or being set free comes when you are able to acknowledge the truth in an area and realize that this piece of thinking was wrong. You know, when I first, I'm going to back up a little. Many years ago, a friend of mine was going to Bible college, and please forgive me for preaching with my eyes shut. It's just a little easier for me. A friend of mine was going to this Bible school, and she called me up one day and she said, you know, the Lord is telling me to invite you to this one class we're going to have. And I don't know why. And I said, well, okay, I'll go. And I went. And the person that was teaching the class taught on false belief systems. And I remember thinking, amen, that's nice. But I had no idea that for all these next years of my life, that would become a foundational principle that would change everything about the way that I live. Everything about the way that I minister. Everything about releasing the Holy Spirit to people. Everything about everything that I know. One of the main factors is eradicating false belief systems. Now that day I wasn't all that impressed, but over time God has brought me back to that truth. Now here's what that truth is. And let me just say this. At the time, I thought that false belief systems were maybe a few things, two, three, four things that I believed wrong doctrinally, and when God corrected them, I got free in that area. But I now see, looking back, that if you were to be able to lay out every thought or belief that you have in your mind, which is thousands upon thousands upon thousands, we would find it full of truths, partial truths, and many, many wrong understandings that don't line up with the Scriptures, don't line up with God's Word, don't line up with the truth that God has put before us. And so as we're able to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, listen, if you have a false belief system in a certain area, did you know that God Himself can't correct you if you aren't asking? If you have an idea and you've got an opinion on it and that's your idea, do you know that God will try to tell you and tell you and tell you and you can't hear Him because you already know? You got it together. I know that. I have it. I got it. And I had something like that. I'm telling you, there was an area of my life where God was trying to teach me truth for 8 years. But I already knew it. I already knew. I knew. And what I knew actually was a partial truth that I'd been taught. I had part of the truth. But I was missing something, and without it, I was finding failure in my life. In fact, every area of my life was failing. Systematically, every area of my life was failing. And finally, I got frustrated enough that what did I do? I removed the barrier because I was desperate enough, hello, to say, okay, God, anything, what, help, what's the deal? And then what happened was I'd become open enough for God to speak to me in that area. You know, I wasted those 8 years. What if I would have not had such a strong opinion 8 years prior and been open to hear Him? I could have saved myself so many trials. I'm convinced that many of our trials, and I think personally most of our trials, come because we just know so much incorrectly. And because we know so much incorrectly, we don't receive the Word of God with meekness. So we have these little barriers and we don't even know we have them. Did you ever try to talk to somebody who is not open? Did you ever try to just honestly tell them something that you know for a fact to be true and they just ain't open? Not open. And all this, you know, the shields go up. You know, and sometimes that's because they have an emotional wound and they're hurting. Sometimes it's because they have a strong opinion. But whatever the reason, they aren't able to receive something. They aren't able. And we're like that too. A lot of times, God, listen, if God had His way, every one of us would be walking like Jesus. If God had His way, every one of us would be as kind as He was. If God had His way, every one of us would teach with the same anointing that He taught, as with authority. We'd raise the dead. We'd cleanse the lepers. We'd move in that kind of faith. If God had His way, see, we're just waiting for God to dump it on us. Ooh, God, anoint me. You know what? You've got to make your vessel ready to receive that anointing. You can call on God and ask for the anointing. And in fact, it could be said that He's given it to you, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't move in it until you've changed your vessel to be a carrier of the glory. You've got to change. And this is for all of us. I tell you, God started dealing with me when I was a very young Christian. I was listening to someone teach along these lines, and they were talking about do whatever it takes. If you have to die to yourself, man, die to yourself. But they were talking, and this person that was talking about it had been to heaven, had been burned by the fire of God, had the glory on them, had an 11-day experience where oil dripped from their hands. And when they were in the middle of that experience, at one point they raised their hand and said, hallelujah, and everybody in the place fell on the floor. Now, that's some serious glory. They were moving in the presence of the Almighty. And I'll tell you something. When you are moving in that place, there is no human that can stand before that. There's no human being that can stand before the true presence of God. That's why John G. Lake shook hands and somebody would hit the deck. And all he wanted to do was just meet him. Hello, I'm John G. Lake. Oh. You know? Because what happened? In his spirit, he was communing with God. When you're communing with God, God himself will jump on people through your mortal body. Because your body was designed to be a carrier of the glory. Your physical body, by definition, was designed to be the vessel, the temple of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The house of God? The temple, the very temple. Think about it. You want to study something, go back to the Old Testament and look about the temple. Look at the temple and how it housed God. And there was fearsome things that went on in the temple when the presence of God. I mean, lightnings, thunderings. I mean, we're talking about a real and living God. A God so terrifying to the Israelites that they said to Moses, "You go, what am I here? You go, Moses. You find out what he's saying because we are scared of him." You know, lightning, thunder. Yet that same God, through Jesus Christ only, because there was no other way. In our fallen state, how could God get a hold of us? In our fallen state, how could he fill our temple? He couldn't, because we had fallen into sin. So Jesus Christ made the purchase. If you're born again, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's what the Bible says. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were purchased with the blood of Jesus. You are his possession. And if you made the transaction to be born again, the minute you said, "Lord Jesus, I realize you're the Son of God. You died on the cross and rose from the dead for me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come and be my Lord." The minute you said a prayer like that and meant it from your heart, immediately there was a transaction that took place in heaven. See, people can only see with their natural eyes, so they don't get what really happened. But what happened is you were physically born into the realm of the Spirit. Born again. You were born in your body, but now you're born into the realm of the Spirit. You have a spirit that can connect with God. Yet it is a baby. You may be 60 years old when you get born again, but in the spirit realm, you're a baby that has to grow just like a real baby has to grow. And if you could see in the realm of the spirit what really goes on between God and man, you would look at everything different. You would look at everything different. You would think different. You would commune with God differently. You would worship differently. That's why Jesus said, "He who worships God needs to worship him in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. He is a spirit. And when you want to deal with him, that's the way you got to do it. And so anyway, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you were filled with God himself. You know, one time God told me, he said, "You guys can't even look at the sun. It would blind you." But he said, "I created that sun with one breath of my mouth." And it's one of the smaller things I made, by the way. He was telling me, he said, "Imagine trying to get near the sun. You guys couldn't make a spaceship to go that far, and if you did, you'd fry halfway there. That thing would be burnt to a crisp." He said, "And you'd deal with me so casually. But that sun is nothing next to my power. Nothing. And yet I have chosen to redeem you so that in the spirit you had a pure vessel," in the spirit, "that I could infill with the Holy Ghost," because he wouldn't dwell in something that wasn't born again. Be like putting new wine in an old wineskin, can't be done, right? So he had to have a pure spirit, so that's why you had to be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, John 3:3. You got to be born again. You have to be a spirit that deals with God in heavenly places. But most people never look past their natural vision. You see things in the natural, and it hinders you. You see an interaction between two people. You have a fight with somebody, and you see it man to man, woman to woman, whatever. But you know, behind the scenes, that probably isn't even what happened. If you could see in the realm of the Spirit, you'd see all kinds of other things happening. Do you ever see in the realm of the Spirit when the enemy attacks somebody? I tell you, you'll never look at things the same again. One time I saw a person and they had a devil sitting on their shoulder. And I know this might be out there for some of you, but I'm telling you this is the truth. There is a devil. And he is a liar and he was born to lie and it's his job. And he has no real authority over if you're born again. So what he tries to do is lay in wait to deceive. And the way he does it is by throwing darts at your thoughts. You think they're your thoughts. They are not. Many of the thoughts you get aren't yours. And what you do with those thoughts determines the outcome, victory or failure. That's why you've got to take captive to the obedience of Christ every thought. I've seen a guy, and the enemy was sitting on his shoulder feeding him lies, and he's speaking them out his mouth, not knowing, believing he was right, even believing he was being religious. But it was an enemy feeding him a line, deceived, had a stronghold. And you know what? You could talk to that guy all day, and he could not hear you until somebody said, bind that strong man and take his goods. You bind the strong man off the person, take the person free, right? I've seen people set free instantly when you take authority of the ruling spirit behind them. I knew a guy that had a, you know, I don't know what you would call it, but he's just angry. He had so much anger all the time. It was just a pain to deal with. You know, just a pain. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I went to God and said, what? You know, what's the deal with this guy? He's just mad all the time. And the Lord said one word to me. He said, animosity. That was one I never heard before. So I said, well, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over animosity. I break it. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Loose him. And instantly, and I'm talking about instantly, that guy's personality changed. He had a strong hold. Now, sometimes we have accepted strongholds. Sometimes we have made choices to allow them. Now, we might not always know that's what we did, but some of the choices, no stronghold has a real authority over you unless they can convince you and deceive you to keep them. Now, listen, I speak as unto wise men, like the Bible says. You may not always realize it's a stronghold. That's why you've got to be tuned into God all the time. Listen, people pretend like they don't need deliverance. Listen, we need to be shrewd. Have I told you my foot washing story? Have you guys heard my foot washing story? All right. I believe that the Lord showed me that when he washed the disciples' feet, it was not about just servanthood. There was that in there. That was in there. But listen, when he washed their feet, he was talking about spiritually. And the reason I know that is that Jesus said, all of you are clean, but not one. Except one, Judas. So was it physical or spiritual? It was spiritual. He said, have I not chosen you, and one of you is a devil? That's what he said, scripture. So he was pointing out Judas without saying his name, saying this one is not spiritually clean. And he's doing this all at the time. I mean, if you study it out, he's doing the foot washing. And I believe what he's saying is that as believers, we walk around in the earth and our feet get dirty, or we get spiritual stuff. You know? Did you ever just see something you shouldn't and then it's like, you know, you got to deal with it? Did you ever have to call somebody and say, get this junk off me? Did you ever do that? You know, that's a good thing. It's good to have someone you can be honest enough, who especially somebody who knows what they're doing, they can call and say, you know, I don't know why, but there's some oppression. Cut it. Boom. It's good to have friends you can call and be honest enough to say, you know, I got some junk on me. Let's just be honest for once, you know. Could we just be honest and stop pretending like we just have it all together? Because we do not. The truth is that we need one another. The Bible says two are better than one. Because one can pick his fellow up, you know. His partner can pick him up. So especially in the matter of spiritual dirt, like when you're walking around and you got dirt on your feet, it's good to have somebody you can go to and just be, you know, it says, confess your faults one to another. Now, you know, that'll put a poker in the eye of, positive confession. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. See, God is trying, we've set our sights so low You know, we think that successful Christian living is getting through our life, you know, and being happy or being used of God. Listen, that's so far below what God wants. God wants us to move in such a high realm of authority. You know, I've been reading this book. It's about the history of Pentecostalism in America. And, you know, most of the stuff I've read was about this move or that move or this person or that. But this is a broad spectrum by a historian, not by a Pentecostalist, but by a historian. And one of the things that stunned me was that when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, the level at which they moved was so high, so much more than we know, that, listen, it said that in their meetings, everybody had everybody float in the gifts. Everybody. They got the fire on them so strong that the minute they got filled with the Holy Ghost, some of them were literally flipped over. I mean, they had these huge experiences. We've settled for too little. See, we've settled in, and you know, I'm going to say something. I read this book, and what I saw, it said, you know, that people would get songs and songs and poems and poems and poems. Well, nowadays, you know, somebody gets a lot of stuff, and they go around saying, you know, I get all this stuff. Well, you know what? In those days, that was normal. These days, we make you a teacher, and you lead a class. When, in fact, everybody's supposed to be doing that stuff. We set our sights too low. I went after God, and I said, what gives? This, I find this annoying. You know, why are we moving at such a lower level? I'm going to tell you something a brother told me. A brother came from Africa, and it was totally the Holy Ghost that brought him. Brought him to my little class on a Sunday night. He was a Maasai warrior, son of the former chief of the Maasai tribe. And he, you know, he listened to the first part of the class. He shared in the second part of the class. Awesome, anointed man. And at the end, when people were leaving, he came up to me and he said, you're going to have to be, he said, this is very good. This could get very big. It's very sweet here. But he said, listen to me. The people here move at a very low level of the Spirit. And he said, that will wear on you. You need to stay prayed up. And he said, we will pray for you. And I said, you pray for us. He was being honest. He wasn't trying to be rude. But the truth is, he was telling the truth. I used to go to a church, and we had a partner church in Africa that moved in so far beyond anything we were moving in. Now, they thought that, you know, oh, America, woo, you know, because America sent out all these missionaries. But when they came here, I think they were stunned to find out about our prayer life. Because when they would go to prayer, they would pray with a fervency that they didn't see here. I'm just going to tell you the truth. The pastor's son was kind of backslid. And, you know, he knew the Lord, but he was pretty backslid, kind of arrogant, frankly. They shipped him over to Zimbabwe for 5 weeks. And those people got a hold of him. And he came home preaching fire. And I said, look what a praying church can do. Well, we thought we were a praying church, and actually, compared to most, we probably were. But we were not moving at near the level of what God had. There's something more to be had. God is trying to raise us up, jerk us up out of the mundane, out of the mediocre. He's trying to take us and show us higher heights. He wants so much more for you and me. Now we're just going to wait for a minute. Someone is here with a broken heart. And you desire more of God, but right now your heart has been so broken that it's hard for you to even hear other things. I've heard the word, now this is strange, but just the rest of you just go with me here, okay? Sometimes when you give a word, it hits one person's ears only, okay? So it may sound odd to everybody else, but you, this person I'm talking to, you were dismissed. You were dismissed by someone you loved very deeply. And it caused a break in your heart. And you have not been able to really pray or really, I mean, you've prayed, but you've had such a broken heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that one with the broken heart. And I ask you to make new as only you can. Make a new heart and give a new outlook and a new walk. You're going to walk in a new way. And though this was very damaging to you, what happened? Sister, I'm talking to a woman's sister. What happened to you was very damaging. Devastating is the word I got. You were devastated by someone you love. You were dismissed out of hand. You were treated as nothing. You were dismissed. And what God said is, though this was very devastating to you, I saw God picking you up and ministering to you Himself. Himself. Breathing the breath of life into you and giving you a new life that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Sometimes God, you know, He didn't do this to you, but sometimes when things like this happen, what God is doing is releasing who you really are to come forth. Who you really are. You know, nobody knows you like God knows you. There's a you on the inside of you that God is saying, come forth. Stop hiding. You are the glory of God. People cannot see. People do not know who you are. Don't ever expect man or woman to see who you are on the inside. Don't ever expect someone to know you, really, or to really see the greatness of what God has made on the inside of you. For God alone knows. But in that secret place, God will reveal one day, as this brokenness comes off, out of those ashes, God will raise up something that is so beautiful to look upon, that He is so proud of, that He will be able to say, look at this one. And everyone on that day, see, when it's your day to be revealed, you'll be revealed. But until then, God is rebuilding, remaking, restructuring, and reordering. I see someone here, you've got a great weight. It's like an anchor that holds you down. And it has held you down and held you back, really, I think, for a long time. And it's been hard to walk in God because you're always pulling this heavy anchor along. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to break the chain that holds that anchor on. Do whatever it takes, but lift that person up into total freedom from that weight that besets. I see God changing someone's thinking. God is going to begin to present some of you with new ideas. New thinking. And you know when a lot of times it'll happen? It's when you're not even thinking about thinking. You might be driving your car thinking about something else. You might be just praying or singing to the Lord, you know, speaking in tongues. Maybe you'll be taking a, you know, shower or whatever. Oftentimes, listen to me, it's when you're most relaxed that God begins to really speak. Actually, He's speaking all the time. We just don't hear well until we're relaxed. We don't hear well when our mind is racing. It is worth the time it takes to train yourself to sit still and relax and let God talk to you. The most valuable thing that I have in my life, the most valuable thing I know, is to be able to sit with the Lord and listen to Him teach me. I couldn't live without that. I couldn't live without Him. I wouldn't want to. I suppose I could, but I sure would not want to. And you know what? It doesn't come overnight, but it is worth however long it takes to train yourself to sit and listen to Him, because He will teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you, and He'll help you, and He'll never, ever, listen, never, ever do it in a condemning way. And if He needs to correct a little something, He'll always do it so lovingly and so gently. He'll touch you with such gentleness and such love. And you know, the first few years that God started speaking to me, I started to be able to hear Him. He prefaced every single thing He said to me. He said first, I love you. You know, He did that for 2 or 3 years because I didn't really know that He loved me. Now, I could say it, oh, God loves you, but I didn't really believe it. Why would He love me? I knew myself. There was nothing much to love, I promise. I didn't really believe God loved me. And so for a couple of years, He would talk to me, and every time the first thing He'd say is, I love you. And then blah, 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 blah. I love you, blah, 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 blah. And you know, after He said it enough times, I began to get the fact that He really did love me. And that when He would correct me, because I was asking, God, please correct me. Please change me. Please. Still asking. I've changed a whole lot, but I'm not done. And I'm going to, till the day I pray to God, that until the day I go to be with Him, I'm always saying to Him, God, show me what needs to change. Because little by little by little, here's what I see. As I'm able to change, I'm able to flow more freely. As I'm able to get the junk out, I'm able to give people more. I'm able to help. It's not about me, it's about them. It was never about me. I wanted to win souls and had no way to do it. I wanted to win souls and I was so painfully shy I couldn't talk to anybody about anything. And I said, God, do something. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what you got to do. And this is what I said to Him, I'll die on any cross. But please, God, do something that will enable me to change lives and win souls. And that was the day God started to work on me. And I want you to know that in this process, He is never going to condemn you. He's never going to be hard with you. But what He will do is, if your heart is right, He'll gently say, okay, sweetie, here's a little something we need to adjust. Okay, God. And we need to, you know, you're thinking this way, but that's not true. It's really this way. Oh, okay, God. And, you know, as I deal with people and situations every day, I've got to go to Him and say, what do you think about that? Because my opinion might be this way. But His opinion is that way. And once He teaches, I'm telling you, once He tells you, it makes so much sense. Suddenly you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Now I know how to deal with that person. But that's the life we're to be living. It's a relationship, a friendship. And we have cut ourselves off from God. He's not the one who stopped talking. We stopped listening. Because it became a religious idea that God only talks once in a while. Listen, you know what He told me? He said, I would talk 24 hours a day to anybody that would listen. That could really hear and listen. I would talk and talk. He said, oh, you know, I want to teach you. I want to give you the mysteries. There's nothing I would hold back from you. I want somebody to be my disciple. Somebody that will sit and listen and let me fill them with the truth of the Most High. I'm looking for somebody. That's what He said to me. And I said, well, here. Me. Pick me. Pick me. And I said, okay, I don't care what it takes. I need to learn to hear from You until I hear well. And I got to know. And listen, I don't accept just anything because there is lying spirits out there. Right? So you have to be careful. But I said, I want You to train me, God. We're not really doing our whatever this was supposed to be. We're just going, okay? I said, God, I don't care what it takes. I want You to train me to know what You're saying, and I need You to confirm it back to me so I know it was accurate, because I don't want to be saying stuff and thinking it's You and it ain't You. I don't want to ever go to somebody and say, the Lord told me this, blah, 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 and have them hurt because I missed it. I just don't want to do that. And a lot of people go around in the body of Christ saying, sure, the Lord would say to you, and it is no more God than the man in the moon. I've had people give, had one guy give me, this guy, every time I bumped into him, he'd give me a word from the Lord, and not one ever. I knew it wasn't God when He gave it. But I thought, okay, I'm open if that was You, but not one ever, I'm talking about dozens of words, ever came to pass. Well, don't you think he should check his track record? You know, if you're giving people words, listen to them. Were they accurate? Were you right? And it's okay to miss it. But you need to learn how to hear from God so accurately that when you're standing in front of somebody, you can open your mouth and deliver what God is saying and know that you've hit the mark. Because when you do that, life changes for that person. Life changes. Sometimes one sentence changes the course. Somebody called me on the phone yesterday at work. I must have said something to him like 4 months ago, and frankly, I remember they had asked for prayer about their marriage, but I don't remember what I said. And I didn't tell them I didn't remember. I just didn't remember. They said, oh, the thing you said, it was totally right. It happened just that way. God has got it all fixed. And I went, yeah, God. You know what happened, though? And I'm not taking credit for that. I'm not. But what I'm telling you is, one sentence from God can shift someone's life to a whole new direction. Because the sentence didn't come from you. And here's the thing. A lot of times God is trying to speak to people, but they can't hear. So while they're in the process of learning how to hear from Him in whatever way they can, He a lot of times wants to use the older ones to help them along, to deliver a word. Okay? God wants disciples, friends, to pour himself into. We think God's holding back. You know, I used to think I was waiting on God, but all the time he was waiting on me. I used to think I was waiting on God. I knew I was called to preach. I knew I was called to do something, but why did it not happen? Where was it? Why did I have to wait so many years? It used to frustrate me no end. And I would cry out to God and say, I know you called me to do this thing, but I could never make it happen. And I thought that it was something he was just going to, woo, flip the switch one day, and all of a sudden, all the glory was just going to roll. Well, it didn't happen that way. He was trying to get me to ask the questions. He was trying to get me, and this is really funny, I'm an analyst by trade. I wasn't doing much analyzing. He was asking me, look, come let us reason together. What's going on? If you have a hindering force, why is it? If you have a problem, why? What can be done to eradicate it? Every problem has a reason. The problems that we deal with have root causes. People are the way they are because of what they've lived through, who their parents were, how they were raised or not raised, the junk they were told. People react to you badly. I got news. A lot of times you can tell what kind of home they grew up in, and you don't need the word of knowledge to do it. You deal with enough people, you can start to name, well, tell me about this, tell me. And you can say, your home was like this, right? How'd you know? And they think you got some glorious thing from God. But the truth is, there's a pattern that even non-Christian shrinks can tell you about somebody because of the manifested behavior pattern. Because some kinds of input gives some kinds of output. The manifestation may vary, but if you have manifestations in your life that are not of God, and by that I mean you have temptations or you have habits, you have addictions, you suddenly get crabby out of the blue sky and you didn't before, you know, you're nice and then crabby and then nice and then crabby. Hello. Those are red flags telling you. And what we do is we go, oh, God, forgive me. Okay, I'm forgiven. Oh, God, you know, we blow it. Oh, God, forgive me. Okay, I'm forgiven. And see, that's okay, we're forgiven, praise the Lord. But it's much better to say, God, what's going on with that? How come I have that problem? Can you tell me why I'm reacting this way? And many times, I'm not talking about once, I'm talking many times, he would give me a flashback, a memory of something that happened that I was still reacting to today. And the minute I took care of that, he took care of all this. Now you didn't just get rid of one sin, you got rid of the entire pattern of behavioral problems. Okay? Does that make sense? I know we covered a lot of ground here, but it's the truth. Some of the habits that we have for a reason. There's people that manifest horrible behaviors and sometimes many sets of behaviors because all their life they were put down. They were put down by the members of their family. They were put down by the people in the streets. They were made to feel small, made to feel inadequate. And so they take on a behavior pattern that helps them to deal with that, but it's a damaging pattern. That's how gang members get to be gang members. That's how people start to shoot other people. You know, you mess with somebody long enough, they're finally going to stand up and say, I'm not taking this, and they're going to begin to act it out one way or another. A lot of times when you deal with somebody who's got these big defense shields or sudden anger issues, a lot of times you're dealing with somebody that was beat up their whole life. That's why you need to have a little bit of compassion. Look past their behavior. Lord, is there something that I can help them with to free them from this? Some people don't want to be helped and are making that choice. But let God lead you and you might find you're setting people free. A lot of times, people would change if somebody treated them decent. A lot of times, obnoxious people will change if somebody gives them a little bit of respect. And you say, well, they're acting all prideful. You know, most people who act arrogant and prideful, in truth, are really terribly insecure, and that's why they're acting that way, because they're hurt and they're scared and they've never been given any credit or respect, and so they've got to put up a front. You know, they've got to put it out there like, I've got it together, and you know, you're going to hear from me if. But that's what that comes from. It's self-defense is what it is. And a lot of this, every one of you deal with somebody who's obnoxious, and hallelujah, maybe you're but a lot of times, you know, I'm saying that in love. I'm just telling you. A lot of times we are the way we are because we're responding to something that happened many years ago, and God wants to heal that. He wants to take you back and gently, gently just remove it. Most of the deliverances that I've had, and I use the word loosely, I'm not just talking about deliverance from strongholds, but changes in my life where I was truly set free, most of them came without any shouting, you know, without any yelling, just quiet revelation as God gave me the truth. As God showed me the truth of something that I accepted or chose to accept in my life as a wrong attitude. And when He showed it to me, I said, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I repent." And it fell away, and that behavior system is long gone history. Long gone. Hallelujah. One time I had some problems, and they'd actually begun to manifest as sickness. But the sickness was just the outer layer of the problems. I had some emotional problems that I hadn't dealt with. In my family, we were taught to be stoic. That means you don't cry. You know, you don't show it. You're strong. I can handle it. And I was taught that way. You don't cry. That wasn't okay. And I became very ill because I was going through extreme duress. And I mean very ill. I was ready to call 911. And a woman prayed with me. And she prayed that God would go back through my life. And it was it sounded like a silly prayer, but she prayed God would take me back through my life and be with me at those times. Now, that didn't make sense to me, but the minute she said it, I began to have little memories. Boom, 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 boom. And I said, "Oh, I know what the problem is." Started when I was 5. This thing happened between me and my dad. He told me not to do all that crying. I shut it down, made a decision to stop. I had made a decision to go a certain way, called an inner vow, but I'd made a decision to walk a certain way, and all those years later, I was in trouble because I'd made a decision based on my dad, who I love, but who was an unbeliever. He wasn't speaking the truth. See, this is what we're talking about. I took in some falsehood as a truth because my dad told me so. My dad, who I loved and respected, he was the president of his company, you know, knew everything. Dad knows everything, right? I believed that. I believed a lie and took an action based on it, made a bad decision, lived with it all my life until it manifested so badly that I was forced to ask the question, opening my mind up to correction, right? And God revealed the issue. The minute He revealed it, I said, "Oh God, I repent. I was wrong. I was wrong. I repent for making that decision in Jesus' name." And everything changed. Not only was I physically healed, but I received emotional healing and the ability to cry, to be normal in my emotions, to, you know, get mad. I could never get mad before, never allowed it. It wasn't allowed. It just wasn't done. And I began to allow myself to be who I really was, such as I am. A lot of times we walk around with a false identity, sometimes for the sake of others so that they'll see this fake identity that we've built. Sometimes we even lie to ourselves about who we are on the inside, and it becomes so real to us that we can no longer see who we really are or be who we really are. There ought to be no mask with Jesus. There ought to be no mask with Jesus. We need to just say, you know, "This is it, Jesus. Here it is. Here's my mess. Here I am." Let's just be honest. "You change me, God." And when we're honest enough to fess up and deal with reality, Jesus Christ will change everything, and He'll do it at a pace you can handle, and He'll do it gently, and He'll do it in love, and He'll change you forever. And when He changes you, it's not just for that day. It is forever, so that you get freer and freer and freer. And the coolest part is, the first one is the hardest. As you go along and get freer, it gets easier every time because you're so free. You're getting freer and freer until it gets real easy to, "Oh, okay, change and, you know, repent and change." It gets real easy. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. How are we doing? Oh, hallelujah. Still warm in there. Okay. Now we have enough people here that I'm not sure I want to pray for everybody individually, so I'm just going to wait. I believe God's going to just touch some people supernaturally. Can I say it that way? That he's just going to touch and heal. This is not an emotional issue. Somebody has a back issue right about here, like in the small of your back. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak healing to that. We speak perfect and total alignment. Let every vertebrae right now move into perfect alignment. And I pray, Father, that by tomorrow morning they will feel no pain whatsoever, be totally normalized. We speak strength to their muscles and balance to their physical body. Balance. We speak balance to them. Someone's got memory issues that are pretty major. There's some memories that are almost haunting, very difficult to contend with. By the way, well, I won't say that. I was going to release you, but I'm not. There's some memories that are on the verge of being tormenting. It's like something that happened that constantly dogs you. You know what I'm saying? It constantly is a issue for you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we cut those off. We cut the cords of the past in Jesus' name. Whew, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you for a holy forgetfulness, a holy washing of those memories, a holy cleansing of the soul, holy cleansing of the mind, will, and emotions. There's somebody in here with has a young daughter, got an issue with this. It's almost a wound, and I don't know if something happened to your daughter or if, I don't know what it is, but it's been a wound. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to heal that wound and set it straight. I see someone getting brand new thinking. You're going to see things in a brand new way. You're going to see holiness in a brand new light. There's somebody in here, you've seen the holiness of God and the judgment of God as condemnation and guilt. You've been always felt you had to measure up, because you know what? The person I'm talking to, you were raised in the Catholic Church and you were taught that you had to live a certain way to measure up. But I would urge you to really study the scriptures, because what God is saying is that when you're born again, Jesus Christ measured up for you, handed you his holiness as a gift, a free gift, and it's faith in him is what gives you that holiness. It's faith in Christ and not what you do. And God is going to change the way you think about holiness. Holiness will begin to manifest through you as you fellowship with him. It's not something you can do on your own. You can't do it on your own. But as you just fellowship with God, hang out with him, as a friend speaks to a friend, holiness begins to manifest through you. And you begin to desire to walk pure. But when you go to God for forgiveness, it's not with this horrible beating yourself up all the time. It's not with this self-abuse. There's someone in here, man, you've just been beating yourself, abusing yourself almost. Like as if somehow if you punish yourself enough, somehow that will solve it. But you know, I want to tell you, sweetie, that's not pleasing to God. You know ye not that you're my own creation? And that if I say you're okay, you're okay. If I give you the holiness of Jesus Christ, you have it. So please, please, stop beating yourself up. It's counterproductive. It's not fruitful, but it's actually damaging to you. It actually gives the enemy something to rejoice about. God is going to totally give you a new understanding of holiness, total new thinking on it. He's going to give you his doctrine. Thank you, Lord. He wants to teach you his own doctrine, not the doctrines of man. Not the doctrines of devils, but the doctrine of God himself. He wants to teach you his way. Ask him with a true and open heart, Lord, show me your understanding. Teach me your perspective. You ask him, he'll show you. He'll find a way. He'll find a way to show you. There's somebody in here that you've been asking God for something for a long time, and almost to the point where you can't seem to stop asking him over and over and over. It's like it's almost real repetitive. And I felt like he wanted me to tell you it's a done deal. It's a done deal. You don't have to keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. It's a done deal. I've already done it in the realm of the spirit. You'll see it manifest in the natural, and until you do, now just thank me for it. Just thank me for it. Just every day, instead of asking me for it, thank you, Lord, that this is done. You know? Just thank you, Lord, that this is done. God is doing something with your loved one. Whew. There's somebody in here, you've really been praying about a loved one. And you've been watching. I can see you standing back and watching. Excuse me. You're watching, it's a man. He's an adult, but he's a young adult. And you're standing back just watching. You haven't been saying too much, but you've been watching his behavior, and he's gone down the wrong path. He's made some mistakes and some bad decisions. And I have a sense that he may even be thinking about getting with the wrong young woman. And she's not the right one. And you've been just watching, and you haven't wanted to say anything, and that's right, that was right. But Father, in the name of Jesus, turn that situation around. I saw the Lord bring down his hand and make a cut. Like he's setting it straight. Now, I want to tell you this. You're going to see, you may see all kinds of different things from, don't worry what you see, because he'll go one way and another and another and another. It's like he'll act all different kinds of ways for a bit. But God said he will come to center, so don't be dismayed. Whatever you see, just keep watching and pray, watch and pray. Because in time, he's going to come to center, and he's going to find himself centrally in the will of God. It'll take a little bit of time, and you will see some kind of bad behavior, you know, as he turns different directions, because he's trying to escape God. And he'll look here and look there and say this, and he'll say stuff that just seems so off the wall to you. But God just wants you to know ahead, don't worry about it. Don't worry. This is already done. God will bring him centrally into the will of God. If somebody's got a child in school and they've caused problems, they've been kind of a little rebel, and it's been a little bit of a trial to deal with, a little bit of a thing to contend with. How do I deal with this? You know, the teacher's, you know, always sending notes home telling me this problem, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this kid. He just seems to have more issues than all the other kids. Now, I don't know, this seems a strange thing to say, but I feel like the Lord is saying he's going to be a little rebel for God one day. That one day, the very thing that makes him more outrageous in his behavior, he's going to be more outrageous for God. God has put something in him that doesn't fit the mold, but it's a God thing, and one fine day, he's going to use that thing for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I can't say that he's an evangelist, but I can tell you a lot of evangelists are like that. A lot of evangelists don't quite fit everybody else's mold. They march to their own drummer, they do their own thing, they think their own way. That's just how it is. I'm married to an evangelist, okay? And he says the most outrageous things. In public, I nearly died the first year we were married. You know, he'd go into public places and, you know, slam this big old fist down and say, "Well, praise you, Jesus." He wanted everybody to know, and he didn't care who liked it and who didn't. He would say outrageous things with no thought of what anybody thought of, you know, and it didn't have to be about Jesus either. He would say all kinds of stuff. You know, that is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord, even though it's a little tough for people to be around. That gift is tough to be around sometimes. But it's a gift from God. God made Paul that way he was. You know, Paul was a hard nut to crack. I didn't like Paul at all when I first started reading the Bible. I don't like this guy. I think he's rude. I just don't like him. But he was God's chosen to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And he had to have the kind of gall that he had to do what he did, say what he said, and go where he went. He had to be brassy. So, you know, pardon me if he didn't always say things the sweetest way. That was his gift. That was his gift. Somebody lives with him. I can tell you right now, somebody here lives with an evangelist, and God's making me say this. A lot of times what you're contending with someone is their personality, their gifting that God has given. And you have to find a way to accept the gift and help them to become all that they're to be with that thing. You know? And sometimes it's like you're a secret agent. Because you can't tell them you're doing that. You just have to help them become all that they're to be and not let them know you're doing that. It's a secret. But that's our call, really. It's not really just to develop ourselves. It's to develop one another. It's to help one another become all they can be, maximum, max out for Jesus. Our job should be every day to help one another become successful in the kingdom. To help one another become, when they stand before Christ, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." To help one another stand before the throne and be rewarded. Hallelujah. Okay, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Tom. Hey, sweating for Jesus.